Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening? What are we doing? What's going on?
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book, .com. A little after five, I turned on Steve Malzberg. I like Steve Malzberg. Of the three networks that I listen to, when Steve is around, I like to listen to him. And he precludes Savage. And when Savage is right on the money, he's real good. Steve Malzberg is playing Obama's address to the NAACP. And you know what? I thought I was listening to Reverend Wright. I never heard so much crybaby talk in my life. They're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the NAACP, and the only thing they're passing around is more wine. W-H-I-N-E. After 100 years, they are whining louder than they've ever whined before. I never seen a group of people cry the blues as much as the NAACP. 100 years to improve the lot of the black man in this country, and they failed. And you know why they failed? Because they're waiting for the white liberals to give them their crutches so they can hobble around. It's a goddamn disgrace. And Obama is the biggest racist president we've ever had. And he is a divider, and that's what the DNC stands for, divide and conquer. This man will never bring this country together. He's going to split it right down the middle. And I tell you something, it's a whole bunch of hootenanny. Name one Chinese guy that ever stood up and said that he was discriminated against. Name one Korean that ever stood up and said he was discriminated against. You know why? They're busy working their butts off, becoming millionaires, so they can live the American dream. There's no welfare checks going to Chinatown. There's no welfare checks going to Koreatown. These people are up at 6 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, buying fish to sell in fish markets. In black neighborhoods. It's a disgrace. You got a crybaby nation. That's what we've become, a nation of crybabies, and give me my hand out. And that's why the government has taken over the country. And that's why we're in trouble. Now hang in there, and I'll rant some more. Last night, I watched a documentary on a black baseball player that Hollywood will never make a movie of. The guy's name was Larry Doby, and he played for the Cleveland Indians. And this guy is a role model for all Americans. Nobody, very few blacks in America went through what Larry Doby went through. And the guy was a man's man. They said that they took Larry Doby and two other black baseball players, and they added up the number of times they were beamed by pitches, and it came to 165. And then they took the top three white baseball players, and you know how many times that they were beamed by pitches? 5 times. Larry Doby is an example for all blacks to look up to. But who do you get today? You get rap singers that can't even put their pants on or wear their hat on straight. They mumble. They don't even speak. And that's our heroes. Forget about it. You wanna improve the living in the black communities? Get rid of the drugs. You wanna free the slaves? Get rid of the drugs. That's the number one enemy of the black man in America today. And it's also the number one enemy of the white man. Get rid of the drugs, and then you can start to walk erect. It's the drugs that are killing the country. One out of five Americans is a junkie, and there's nobody. They got a drug czar. They got a drug czar. Bush appointed a drug czar, and he's in rehab. Unbelievable. And I watched what Larry Doby went through, and it was another black player named Mudcat. I forget his last name. And the two of them came out on the field, and in the poorest seats were a large black community. And they went out to, I think it was left field and right field, and they shook the hands of all the blacks that were sitting there cheering for them. And that's America. And you know what? This party of death, this lousy communist and Democrat party, will keep us divided until we disintegrate. And we have to rise up above it. And Obama bin Laden is the worst president this country will suffer under. And the banks are lying to us. The banks are falsifying their incomes. And the only way you're going to see the truth is when you find out that a motorcycle manufacturer laid off 1,000 people today. That's the truth. These false numbers that are coming out of these banks that were all funded by the federal government, which now is in bed with them, and they're in bed with the federal government. They're lying about their statistics. They're lying about their profits. And the proof of the pudding is going to be you standing on the unemployment line. And if you never stood on one, let me tell you, there are people there that know the ropes. You'll be at the back of the line forever. In one generation, Chinese people surpassed all competition. In one generation, Korean people surpassed all competition. In one generation, Filipinos surpassed all competition. In one generation, Latinos surpassed all competition. And yet, 100 years later, the NAACP is singing, "Woe is me." How about getting off your duff and stop looking for a government handout? How about getting off your duff and going to work? Why should Mexicans do the Rio Grande decathlon and end up in a ghetto sitting on the porch, sitting on the front steps in black neighborhoods at 6 o'clock in the morning and having white guys come into the neighborhood and picking them up by the truckload while Mr. Welfare is upstairs waiting for 11 o'clock for the alarm to go off? Tell me why that's happening. What's wrong? You know why? Because slavery is bigger today than it has ever been. And you're the slave to the welfare check, and you're the slave to drugs. And even with a stacked deck called affirmative action, they can't get out of their own way. They can't climb the ladder. And total strangers from other countries are coming here and passing them right up. I look at my local area. There are Albanians now who are running the construction industry, small construction companies, and they're hiring Mexicans. The Albanians just got here. What is this? What's going on? You got politicians telling you that you are downtrodden, and you've been discriminated against. Let me tell you something. The 500,000, 600,000 Americans who died so that blacks could be free did not discriminate. Stop buying liberal crutches. Raise yourself up and stand tall. And we all can't be basketball players or hip-hop artists. When I see a guy like Charles Payne on Fox, I take heart. When I see guys like Al Sharpton lying about cops committing atrocities, I get very discouraged. Al the Dumpster Man. I'd love to do an interview with Al and let him stand where he belongs, inside a dumpster. And ask him how he feels about the white boy he killed by accusing him of being a racist. The white boy that committed suicide because he was charged with the rape of Tawana Brawley, which turned out to be a lie. Yet Al was given a racial pass, and Al was a candidate for president on the Party of Death platform. You think about that. And then watch the Larry Doby story. And another stunt that Obama played in his speech to the NAACP was to lump Latinos in with blacks and saying that Latinos are being discriminated against because they're Latinos. Let me tell you something. Some of the most admired Americans in this country are Latinos. And if you don't believe me, you know what you do? You go down to the wall and see how many Spanish names are on the wall that died in Vietnam. You go to www.captainsblog.us and take a look at the first five Americans who died in Iraq. Their names are Rodriguez. Their names are Munoz. Their names are Garcia. They're all... The Marine Corps is full of Latino heroes. So, don't lump Latinos in. Don't drag them into your mess. Hang in there, I'll give you a tune. Before the tune, let me just add one other thing that Obama said. He said, he accused the American people of discriminating against Muslims who pray. Let me tell you something. The first time I was in the Middle East, I came to admire Muslims who pray. I was waiting for a taxi. I thought I was all alone in the office, and all of a sudden a head came up from behind the desk, and it was a man. He was praying. I paid a visit to a businessman, and I was ushered into his office, and he was praying. And I went to a fish market with a Kuwaiti friend to buy food for dinner, and outside the fish market, in 115 degree temperature, was a 14-year-old boy on a prayer rug, and he was praying to his God. No American looks down on anybody who prays to God. And for him to say that, for Osama bin Laden to divide this country by saying that Americans hate Muslims who pray, that's an outright goddamn lie. I'll tell you who Americans hate. They hate 16 Saudis who got on planes to kill Americans in New York. They hate Osama bin Laden, who has declared that every American taxpayer is a Jew. They hate Muslims who blow themselves up. They hate Muslims who kill women. They hate Muslims who hang women off the back of tow trucks in Iran. They hate Muslims who shoot women at demonstrations. They hate Muslims who behead women. They hate Muslims who force women to wear burqas and cover their face and walk behind their husbands or an elder and not be given equal rights. Those are the Muslims we hate. Those are the Muslims. We hate anybody who hurts this country. And you don't have to be a Muslim to be hated. All you got to do is declare war on us, and you're our enemy. And we know how to deal with enemies. We have set world records for dealing with our enemies. Right now, we've still got kid gloves on. But one day, someone's going to come along from this country and say it's time to get bin Laden. And he's not going to get a Bush pass, and he's not going to get a Clinton pass, and he's not going to get an Obama bin Laden pass. And his neck will be stretched. And that day will come. As sure as God made little green apples. There's a slogan in this country, and you know what it is? 911, we forget nothing. And that's a New York slogan. You can take it to the bank, if you still got a bank. Now I'll give you that tune. You know what pitch and toss is? It's a game the kids play. It's played with a coin on a stick. And you flip, it's like flipping a coin, but they use a stick. And that's called pitch and toss. And I guess you call heads or tails. And the reason that I'm telling you that is because I'm about to read you a poem. And the poem was written by a guy named Rudyard Kipling. And he was a great writer. He's the guy that wrote Jungle Book. He wrote poems called Barracks Ballads. And he loved the common soldier. He was British, and he loved the British soldier. And he wrote things like Gunga Din, Thin Red Line of Heroes, which is a poem about how the soldiers are taken for granted. And they're paid very little, and they're spit upon and looked down upon, except when the drums begin to roll, as he would say. He also wrote a poem called If. I'm going to read it to you. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it all on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings, and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there's nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can walk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and what is more, you'll be a man, my son. Rudyard Kipling wrote a poem called Come Ye Back to Mandalay, which Frank Sinatra had a hit song with. And he also had a poem about Kabul in Afghanistan. And if you read that poem, you would realize what a great job our warriors did. Alexander was not that great. Alexander got stomped in Afghanistan, and when he left, he was Alexander the Grape. I'll talk to you, boys and girls.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and while we still have the chance, let's face the music and dance. Soon we'll be without the moon, humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed,
So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance. Without the moon, humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance.
You think Nat King Cole had it made, coming up the ladder? Do you think that every time he was discriminated against, he allowed the liberal politicians to play with his life and use him as a sacrificial lamb to get them elected to office? He rolled with the punches and he gave some. And that's the difference between men and mice. And have you noticed, have you seen this scene that Barbara Boxer put on, playing the race card against a black guy? Using the race card against a black guy. And the black guy turned the tables on her. And he said, stop playing the race card on me. I don't like it. And she continued. Now, this is a woman who votes to burn the flag. This is a woman who votes to kill kids. And she's going to tell you she's looking out for the black man? Give me a break. When are you going to stop buying that snake oil? And while we're on the subject of pro-choice Democrats, let me ask you a question. Do you think that these pro-abortion people, do you think that every one of them is true to God in their own heart? Don't you think that some of those people who are for abortion believe that certain classes of people should be aborted? Don't you think that some of those pro-choice people think that riffraff should not be allowed to live? Don't you think that some of those people believe that children shouldn't be born who couldn't afford to be born? Children of poor parents, children of black parents. You don't think there's anybody that thinks that blacks should be aborted? You don't think that anybody feels that weak children should be aborted? You don't think that there's anybody out there who feels that Oriental, Latino babies should be aborted? You don't think there's anybody out there that thinks rednecks should be aborted? You think about that. And speaking of rednecks, after the next tune, I'm going to read you what Geraldo says about rednecks. You know what the Democrats are good at? They're great at dividing the country, burning the flag, killing kids, and now they've turned the United States into a Tower of Babel with babbling idiots. 27 different languages in a nation that spoke one.
Once I asked Moisir, how did you get inspired to write the song? And he told me, I was meditating by the sea when I saw a vision. And he proceeded to ask me, have you seen Nana? Have you seen Nana? And Nana,
It's great to speak a second language, a third language, a fourth language, a fifth language. That's great. That's fantastic. That's a feather in your cap. But English should be your first language. And then you learn the others. And then you can say, Min loga arabia ashwayi shwayi. Ma salama. This Obama administration is fast-forwarding us right into hell. They are moving so fast that we can't keep up. They have an express train to disaster. Now, you think about this. They just attached hate legislation bills to an appropriations bill for F-22 fighter jets. This administration hates the military. They won't even let the military try the Gitmo criminals, the Gitmo assassins, the Gitmo murderers. They're going to make the military. They'll try the military first. They will try the military first, and they're already doing it. They're still going after Cheney. Okay? This is a takedown America, Congress, House, and Senate. And I told you before, and I'm going to say it again. You want your country back, you got to fire both parties. The Republicans are third-degree Democrats, and the Democrats are first-degree communists. There's no difference between the two of them. Just a shadow. I know we're going to lose some good guys. I'll feel sorry losing Jeff Sessions and some of the other guys. But I got to tell you, I would rather sacrifice all that are holding office today for the good of the nation. Get rid of them all. Democrats and Republicans. Not one name should be familiar to any lobbyist on the next go-around. And I'd get rid of all the lobbyists, too. So, they have tried to attach a hate crimes legislation to an appropriation bill for fighter jets. The House and the Senate, who voted to burn the flag. Oh, my question is, how about hate crimes? Hate crimes against the House and the Senate, who voted to burn the flag 40 days before 9/11. How about hate crimes against the taxpayer? How about hate crimes against the Republican sellouts who work for Henry Playboy Waxman, the steroid czar? How about hate crimes against the unborn, now that it has been proven that DNC fetuses have memory banks? How about hate crimes against God destroying his creation? How about hate attacks crimes against religious people, making them tithe for an unnatural God in communist public school? How about hate crimes against 9/11 New Yorkers who were never avenged? How about hate crimes against Geraldo V. Rivera, who belongs on the Tudors? When he is not disclosing troop locations in Arabic, he is hugging Yasser Arafat. Even better, he's anti-Gaelic, asking O'Reilly what word rhymes with Mick. Now he calls the three blacks, the three Latinos, and one very dumb white woman who murdered a white couple in Florida, rednecks. Take his crayons away and make him read the chart on the wall. The letters are XYZ, racist. Fire them all. Save your country. We need fresh crooks. Only Sarah Palin can save us now. Tea, anybody? Don't miss the Tea Party. It's going to be your last time to save your country. It's going to be your last time to show that you're ticked off. And sidebar to Dennis Prager. I caught Dennis Prager. He was talking about Honduras. South America is more important than the Mideast, and you're the only one talking about it. Make it number one. Wouldn't you like to see a Chuck Schumer being flown to New Jersey in his pajamas? We be talking. Okay. So, having said that, Let me give you another tune.
When boyhood's fire was in my blood, I read of ancient freemen, of Greece and Rome who bravely stood, 300 men and freemen. And then I prayed I yet might see our fetters rent in twain, and Ireland lost. brightest summer glow, outshine that solemn starlight. It seemed to watch above my head through foreign field and fane. Its angel voice sang round my bed and mission once again. A nation once again.
What did Rahm Emanuel say? Never fail to take advantage of a good crisis. Did you know that his brother just got a cushy job? I think it pays $1.2 million. Yeah, you know what it's in? Healthcare. Yeah. Uncle Sap strikes again, huh? Gets struck again. Unbelievable. And just in case you think I'm a racist, let me tell you, I was born in Harlem. I went to a Catholic a school on 125th Street and Convent Avenue. I went to an integrated high school, a Catholic high school, on Sugar Hill. I delivered Willie Mays dry cleaning. So before you label me a racist, I brought the black doo-wop groups into a white all-white neighborhood. And I'm one who seeks harmony among the races. I just don't like being railroaded. So... And I'm not a phony liberal. I can't say one thing and do another. You know, I can't say that I've been to the ghetto, but I don't live there. You wouldn't find me there. If you see me in a car with three black men, I'm being kidnapped. Yeah, give me a break. Give me Barbara Boxer. Yeah, I'd like to get her drunk one night and see what she really thinks about equality. Yeah, I'm sure my ears would be red. Okay, so that song was A Nation Once Again. It's an Irish song, but we're going to be singing it very shortly. The doors are open. The Trojan horse is already in Washington, D.C. Yep. We're in trouble. We're all up the fat lady's burqa. You think Dizzy Gillespie got to the top of the trumpet playing music parade because of affirmative action? Do you think Louis Armstrong never had it tough growing up as a black man? Did he go crying to anybody? No, they're all self-made men. Who was loved more than Joe Louis and Jesse Owens? Why? Because they were weak? Did you see Jesse Owens doing the high hurdles with crutches? By the way, the guy Mudcat who was telling the story about Larry Doby and how they went out to meet their black constituents, their family, their big family, and they were shaking hands. when he told the story, he broke down and cried. How's that? That's a man. He didn't whine.
From the table up at Birdland to the place where Dizzy dwells, in the beards and the funny hats they love so well. All the boppers are assembled, and when they're really high, they constitute a weird personnel. All the riffs these cats are playing are crazy, cool, and gone like this. Ooly oo, Scooby Goo, Ooby Dooby Dooby, Ooh Bobby Dappin' like that. So let them beat their brains out till their flatted fifths are gone, and they'll pass and be forgotten like the rest. Yes, they're poor little cats who have lost their way. Ba 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 ba. They're little lost sheep who have gone astray. Ba 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 ba. Every wrong note that they play is a gem. So Lord have mercy on every one of them, for they
bye-bye. On the 4th of July, 1806, we set sail from the sweet home of Cork. We were sailing away with a cargo of bricks for the Grand City Hall in New York. It was a wonderful craft, she was right for the laugh. You know how the wild wind drove her. She stood several blasts, she had 27 masts, and they called her the Irish Rover.
We had 1 million bags of the best loyal rags. We had 2 million barrels of stone. So I'll play her to size. We have 4 million barrels of bones. We have 5 million hogs, 6 million ducks, 7 million barrels of porter. We had 8 million files of old nanny golf tiles in the halls of the Irish Rover.
There was help, Mickey Toots, who played hard on his flute when the ladies lined up for a sip. He would toot with skill for each sparkling quadrille, till the dancers were fluter than bets. With his smart, witty talk, he was cock of the war, and he rolled the dames under and over. They all knew at a glance, but he took up his stance, and he sailed in the Irish Rover.
Mm-hmm. ship of war, and a man from Westmead come along. There was slugger of Pluto, and drunk death and roll, and fighting belts right deep from Dover. And you, like the can from the banks of the Bann, was the skipper from the Irish Rover.
For a sailor, it's always a bother in life, it's so lonesome by night and by day. Setting off for the shore, and a charming young home, who will melt all his troubles away. All the noise and the rout, full of pudding and stout, for him soon is done and over. But the love of a maid, he is never afraid, that I saw from the Irish Rover.
We have sailed 7 years when the beetles broke out, and the ship lost its way in the fog. And the whale of a crew was reduced to the two, just myself and the captain's old dog. Then the ship took a rock, oh Lord, what a shock, the boat it was turned right over.
Turned nine times around,
and the poor old dog was drowned.
And the last of the Irish Rover.
Hi, boys and girls. It's Captain Boycott. And this morning I'm driving to work, and it's a Sunday, and I'm part of the working poor, so I'm working on a Sunday. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to beat the landlord. I'm moving a location, and the landlord has given me a deadline to get out. So I'm trying to live up to my obligations as a tax-paying American citizen. And I'm listening to this. I'm from New York, as you can tell by my southern Richmond accent. And yes, I'm from Richmond County. And by the way, did you know that the tune Dixie was written in a New York hotel? Check it out. You'll be surprised to learn. I think it was written by an Irishman, too. Anyway, if not, he was a great New Yorker, whoever did it. And it is a great tune. And I like when you whistle it. I can remember watching a POW movie where World War II pilots were in a concentration camp. And the code whistle was Dixie to let the new guys know they were in good hands. So if you ever hear that tune, you'll know that you got brothers around that are looking out for you. And don't believe the liberal crap that the Confederate flag should be taken down and destroyed. They only say that to warm you up for when they say to take down the American flag and destroy it. And if you don't believe me, I got a scoop for you. 48 senators voted to burn it 40 days before 9/11. And guess who one was? Guess who one was? And there were 40 Democrats. There were 8 Republicans. And I don't call them Democrats. I call them Demoncrats. Harry Truman was the last Democrat. Harry Truman, who still had a mortgage on his house when he left office. And here you had the Clintons. You had people buying them houses. And you don't think the country's been sold down the river? Well, that's because you're not aware of what's going on. You're reading the New York Times. But, yes, 48 senators voted to burn the flag, and one of the Republicans was Fred Thompson, who they're now trying to pass off as the conservative candidate for the presidency. You think I'm going to vote conservative for this jerk? You think I'm going to vote for a flag burner? And to me, a flag burner is a traitor. There's no difference between a flag burner who's in the Senate and a flag burner who's in Gaza, or a flag burner who is in Iraq, or a flag burner who is in Iran. There's no difference. Or a flag burner who's in Syria, an American flag burner who's in Syria. And guess who that is? That's Nancy Pelosi. And guess what? A month before, she sent Squinty Eyes Nelson, the baby bayonetter. Yeah, an astronaut. The only astronaut that's spelled with two S's. God help us. We're in trouble. So let me tell you about this talk schmuck show that was on this morning. And I really felt sorry for the caller. The first issue of the day was a black woman who was a Pentecostal, and she was suing the transit authority because they told her she could not wear a skirt to work, and that she could get the skirt caught in machinery, and that she was supposed to wear pants, and she fought it on religious grounds. Honey, you didn't have to fight it on religious grounds. You could have fought it on good taste. But everything is a religious issue today. So they championed for this woman, this Pentecostal, against the transit authority. And they reminded everybody that yarmulkes can be worn, that Sikhs can wear their turbans. And to those people out there who don't know the difference between a Sikh and a Muslim, there's a big difference. As a matter of fact, a Muslim once told me when I was in Kuwait that the Sikhs can't cut their hair until the last Muslim is dead. So there's a little bit of animosity going on among the tribes here that we don't know about. And I don't believe that to be a fact, but I think that was Muslim propaganda. Anyway, so the second caller, after they championed yarmulkes for bus drivers and turbans for Sikhs, and you can wear a beard 20 feet long as long as you're working around gears and rollers. Yeah, God help us. It's part of his religion, yes, and he lost a beard on the job. God help us. We're in trouble. This is what you send your senators and congressmen. They have nothing to do, so they make up laws that they can put their name to, so that one day when they're dead, they can, oh, remember the McCain-Feingold bill? Yeah. That should be McCain, FINDGOLD. What a disgrace. And that's why McCain has only got $2 million in his war chest, because the Warriors don't want no part of him. And you know why they don't want no part of him? Because he hitched his star to Russell Feingold, who's a flag burner and a baby killer. And you show me your friends, that's what my mother used to say, and she was right. You show me your friends, and I'll show you what you are. And that's the truth. And speaking of friends, why is President Bush so chummy with Bill Clinton? I voted for Bush to stop Clinton from ever winning reinfection, and now the two of them look like two peas in a pod. But that's a different story for a different time, but let me just mention one thing to you. It has come to my attention that the guy who I was championing for, a kid named Scooter, he turns out to be a bagman for Mark Rich. So I say, let Scooter do all the time he's supposed to. Screw Scooter, because Scooter is screwing us. If that is true, and he was the bagman for Mark Rich, and he paid off Bill Clinton the pardon money, then Scooter Libby deserves the wrath of Fitzgerald, who I believed was working for Clinton. And it was part of the Republican takedown. But if it's true that Scooter Libby represented Mark Rich, a fugitive, okay, then Scooter Libby deserves no fair share, no fair break. Scooter Libby deserves to be rode out of town on his scooter. And that's the problem with Washington. When I'm president, yes, I'm going to run for the presidency, and I'm going to win, too. And you can send your contribution. I'll give you an address, and all I want is a dollar. If you're General Motors, send me a dollar. If you're Macy's, send me a dollar. If you're Simon & Schuster, you don't have to give me a phony book like you gave Hillary Clinton, which I could have given you for $0.79 with a nice marble cover and lines and spaces and a times table and a conversion chart. It could have been yours for $0.79. Instead, you gave $12 million to Hillary Clinton. And you're going to tell me that's a book deal? That's a bunch of crap. That's a champagne contribution. We know rats are when we smell them. And you should change your name, Simon & Schuster. You should look ashamed and change it to Simon & Shyster. But let me go back to this poor little girl who called in to two liberals who were running the It's Time to Have Your Brain Flushed a program. And here they were championing the Pentecostal lady, okay, who had a legitimate beef. And they also said that people would look up her dress getting on the bus. Yeah, well, you can't stop progress. You can't stop liberal progress. And but let me continue on. So this girl called and she said, and there's two of these talk show hosts, Mutt and Jeff, and they're both liberals and they are not Catholic. And the girl says, "Hi, I'm a Catholic. And I work in a drugstore, and I cannot in good conscience sell birth control pills, the morning after pill in particular. I cannot in good conscience do that as a Catholic." And the two liberals defending the rights of the individual said, "Honey, when you took the job, you knew what you were getting into. If you didn't want to sell birth control pills, which are legal, you should have not taken the job." So, I say, bullcrap, lady. And the poor girl, she was asking these guys for advice, and she was taking their, cagada de toro. And, that's another word for Hakawi. Yes, a politician was running for office and he was on an Indian reservation and he says, "I'm going to give you everything," and they shouted Hakawi. And then he says, "I'm going to give you a free this and free that," and they shouted Hakawi. And when he was leaving, he was getting back into his limousine and the chief said, "Be careful, don't step into Hakawi." So that's a bunch of Hakawi, or cagada de toro, as the Spanish say. Anyway, so this girl was calling these two jerks for advice, and first off, they are 910 New Yorkers. They have no idea that we were hit on 911, and they think that the Liberty Plaza is just being getting a do-over. And here they were talking about the rights, the civil rights of the individual, but a Catholic girl who is opposed to giving out the morning after pill has to do her duty, her civil duty, if she's working for CVS or Duane Reade, the last two employers of record in the United States. And one day, when we're all working for Duane Reade, we will all be giving out the birth control pills or face a $5,000 fine and go to jail. Yeah. So, but you see, they wouldn't need the birth control pills if the clerk who was putting away the condoms would stop punching holes in them. So, honey, you're doing a good thing. You have a great conscience. And here's what you do. You see, In America today, there are laws that subjugate the average American. They have made these fools in Washington have made so many laws, they have run amok with laws. We now have laws to govern reporting broken pay toilets. They have more laws that all they had to do was stick to the top 10, the 10 commandments, and they wouldn't have had to write any laws. But because they're so devious and sick, and they have dreamt up laws that will drive you insane. So what you have to do is you have to take American justice into your own hands. And here's how you do it. When somebody comes to the counter and asks for the morning after pill, throw up on them. And then go sick. And that's the simple solution to the problem. There's always one more way to skin the cat. And my Arab friends, they like that saying. It worries me why they like it, but they like that saying. So I just wanted to give you some hope, honey, and you are a good Catholic girl, and God bless you. And stick to the program, because all that matters is that Jesus loves you. And if he's on your side, nobody can touch you, and nobody can hurt you. You are invincible. So that's the lesson for today. And we'll talk again. In the meantime, get the book, SpiritofAmericaPartyBook.com, and chapter 4 is Save the Kids. Chapter 1 is the biggest threat to the survival of the United States, and that's entitled Drugs Suck. I was almost a 55 before I took anything but an aspirin. You hear that? 55 before I took anything but an aspirin. When I was in my 30s, I went to the doctor for chest pains, and he gave me drugs, and I threw them in the garbage. I would rather have the chest pains than be a junkie. And the chest pains went away. How do you like that? Now I give chest pains. I don't get heart attacks. I give heart attacks. Okay, so don't forget to vote for me for president, and you'll have a rocking a USA. And everybody will be in bed by 9 o'clock. And mostly by themselves. Talk to you, boys and girls.